Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Hey guys, Bluegrass Bammer here, just dropping in to say thanks for listening to episode 11 of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. This week, I actually was able to go run with my guest before we stopped to chat and have coffee at a local coffee shop. But I can't wait for you all to meet Amber Running Deer Bliss. She moved here about 3 years ago and is the chapter leader for the Southern Indiana Moms Run This Town. She runs this town group, and she's currently training for the Rough Trail 50K this November. So I wanted to sit down with her and just kind of talk about her journey, but we just do some real like mom talk and life talk while we're chatting. And this is a pretty typical way a conversation goes between running friends in a coffee shop, I feel like. So I hope you all enjoy it and you get to know Amber a little bit better on the show. And I hope everybody's having a great week and happy running. Hey everybody, it's Stephanie Boyd. I'm back with another episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. And today I'm excited to have Amber Running Deer Bliss with me. Hi Amber, welcome to the show.
Hello.
We sound so proper when we start out. By the end of this thing, we might have an explicit rating on this thing. You never know. So Amber, I have known for, well, almost, I guess, today. I've known her, I met her about 3 years ago when she moved to the area, and have gotten to know her better through running with her in races, and wanted to bring her on the podcast today because she has a great story. It's fun, and she's done a lot of awesome things in terms of racing, and so I wanted you all to meet her. And I'm gonna have Amber, if you don't care, we ran for an hour. Well, actually Amber ran 2 miles more than me because she ran before I got here. But we ran for an hour, and it is so miserable.
Yes.
In Southern Indiana today. It is, we're at a coffee shop, and we walked in wringing wet, and I'm pretty sure people were staring at us.
Yes.
It was hot, so.
It was very soupy out there.
So now we've had some coffee, which sounds ironic, and we've cooled off a little bit. So Amber, I'm going to have you just start out by introducing yourself to everyone that's listening, and tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of how you identify as a person. What are the labels that you give yourself, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Okay. I am Amber Running Deer Bliss. Running Deer has come from, actually my grandfather used to say I was, look at that little running deer, because I used to have these little itty bitty stick legs.
Aww.
And I always ran, and so he would always call me Running Deer. That's where that came from.
Uh-huh.
My maiden name is Deer, so I used to be Amber Deer.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I wouldn't say recently, 10 years ago I got married.
Seems like it's been so blissful, it seems recent.
It doesn't feel that long, actually. So, Bliss is added on to the Amber Running Deer Bliss.
Yeah.
So, I'm 100% Native American Indian. I am Mohawk and Ojibwe. I am originally from Detroit, Michigan.
So you were born in Detroit?
Yes, I was born in Dearborn, which is a suburb right outside of Detroit. And my grandfather and my father are from the reservation just south of Montreal, Quebec, called Ganawage. And my father still lives there, and I have a couple sisters and a brother. Slew of cousins and aunts and uncles that all still live there.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother is from Parry Sound in Ontario.
And, oh, nice.
So that's where the Ojibwe comes from.
Okay. I was going to ask that.
Yeah. My father and my grandfather are both Mohawk. So, yeah.
And your mom?
Yes. Oh, yes. I am a mother.
Proudly.
Yes. I have 2 kids. Vincent, who is 9, Vivian, who is 7.
Your dog mom.
Oh, yeah. Dog
if
mom
you all
first.
Ever seen pictures of Amber on social media, she has beautiful 2 beautiful dogs.
Yes, Dakota and Sadie. Dakota was my first baby. And he's named Dakota because my first baby was going to be named Dakota, whether it was a boy or a girl or a fur baby.
Okay.
So he got that
He's the oldest
name.
Child?
Yes, he is the oldest child. He is my number one. He is my baby. We have run many races together, many, many, many miles together. I think the furthest he's ran with me is 14 miles.
Wow. What type of dog is he? Tell them.
He's a Weimaraner.
Yeah. So they're known for running.
Yeah. They're very high energy dogs. Mm-hmm. Very high energy dogs. So, and the reason
I think that's funny though, because when I see pictures of them, they're usually like curled up on the couch.
They are. But that is one of the reasons why I got a Weimaraner. It's for a running partner.
Yeah.
They're great hunting dogs. They were bred in Germany to hunt bear.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So, very high energy. I got him so I did not ever have to run alone. Mm-hmm. And living in the Detroit metro area at the time, I never wanted to run alone. And there weren't these groups, running groups back then.
Yeah.
And so, because he's 11 now, he'll be 12 in November.
And the other is a female?
Yes, the other one is Sadie. She's 3. I got her when Dakota turned 10 because I noticed his hind legs were starting to get weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want to have to run alone. The unfortunate thing is around here, it's too hot to get them out all the time.
Yeah.
So she doesn't run nearly as much as Dakota did.
Yeah.
And Dakota's run a few races with me, a couple half marathons, a couple 10 milers, 5 milers, trail runs.
Never breaks a sweat.
Nope. Just nice trot. I mean, he still trots really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But Sadie, she runs with me now. I think the most I've run with her is 10 miles. And she's a good, if you need to run fast or faster.
She's a good pace dog.
Yes. She's an 8-minute-mile pacer, you know. And that's so fast
for me. Yeah. So. They've both been useful in different ways.
Yes. Yes. I would love to get Sadie out more often, but unfortunately, it's just hot.
It is.
Here.
Yeah.
And I don't get up super early anymore.
Right. Well, in this heat, I don't think it matters when you get up. It's still humid.
Yeah. I used to get up at 5 in the morning, 3 or 4 days a week, just to get up before the sun came up and before the kids got up, before the hubs got up.
Yep.
But I don't really have to get up that early anymore. So I don't.
Why not? Why would you?
I don't.
I really appreciate sleep. It's the one thing I think when I became a mom that I regretted losing.
Yeah.
That's it. So now
I'm useless.
Let's back up a little bit and talk about when you started running.
Okay.
So you said you were always out, you always were running. Obviously, your grandfather gave you your nickname or your, you know, the name he gave you.
Running Deer.
Running Deer. So
I was very
growing
hyper.
Up, you go just run around just wherever? Mm-hmm. I mean, by yourself? Or were there other people running around you? Or
no. Growing up, we lived in Detroit. So I lived with my grandparents, so we were not really allowed to venture too far.
Mm-hmm.
We could go around the block.
Mm-hmm.
So I would run around the block.
Oh.
And I'd run around the block. I'd run around the block.
Yeah.
And then I was so hyper, my mother put me in gymnastics. And I probably had ADD, too, you know.
Back then, that wasn't
a thing. And then, I mean, there were people who were going on medication and stuff. Like, I had friends who were on medication, but my mom was not going to do that. She's like, we'll just tire her out here. We'll put her in gymnastics. Well, I was still crazy. So, at the time, my sister was swimming. So, I would go to swim practice with my sister on the days that I didn't have gymnastics.
Nice.
So, that's where I get my swimming background from.
Yeah.
And I mean, I did that for a few years, and then I stopped swimming and just kept with gymnastics. And I did gymnastics till about 12 or 13. I was in junior high when I quit because I wanted to do other sports and hang out with my friends.
Yeah. Yep.
Because gymnastics was your life.
Right.
At that point.
Right.
But I was always pretty much athletic. And in our elementary school had a track team, so I did run track there.
And your elementary school had a track team?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Well, you can only, I think it was only fifth and sixth grade
that
still could do it.
That's awesome. And not all schools have that early.
Yeah.
On.
Well, I mean, a lot of schools have cross country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have cross country. We actually had the track team because the schools in Dearborn, like my elementary school used to be a junior high, elementary junior high. So they had
all that built
stuff.
In.
Yeah. So then when we got to junior high, which was 7th and 8th grade, I wanted to do other sports. So I quit gymnastics. I did the swim team, and I ran track.
Nice.
And
were you good?
Yeah, I was naturally good. I think I was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the faster people.
What was your favorite event, or what was your best event?
In junior high, I'm not sure. But in high school... the 200.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. You know what? In junior high. Backtrack. In junior high, the 200 meter or yards? I forget.
Meter.
The 200-yard sprint. I actually had a record. I was on the wall in the junior high. And when I was after college, I graduated college, and I was coaching gymnastics. One of the little girls that I used to coach went to my junior high school and said, "Miss Amber, did you go to Bryant Junior High?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Your name's still on the wall." I was like, "Is it really?" I was so excited to hear that because, gosh, you know, you think junior high, you're
right,
12, 13, 14 years old.
Right.
And yeah, so 200, I was pretty fast in that. And then hurdles, I was a hurdler. What is the 300-yard hurdles?
That's scary. Hurdles scare me.
Well, those hurdles are short for the girls. No, they're really short.
Still, you have to lift your leg up high.
You just split leap over
them. It's like trail running.
Yeah.
Scares me.
Maybe that's why I like trail running. And then the 100-meter hurdles I liked, but they always gave me shin splints.
Yeah.
The pounding that you have to take.
I see that a lot with track at the high school where the boys go, like the middle school and high school. It seems like they're always icing down those poor girls, and they all have shin splints.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that normal? I'm like,
I want to say it is only because I want to say it just because.
It seems so young.
They're taking all that pounding, and it's just such a short period of time where you're really grilling these people to run really fast and all that pounding, and it's the same. Same momentum motion.
Right.
And
it's aggressive.
Yeah.
And plus their bodies are growing and just kind of...
Maybe they don't have the right shoes.
Yep.
They just went to Dick's.
I thought about that too.
You know, oh, these are cute. All of these. That's what I did.
Right.
I mean, my feet always hurt.
Now you know why.
Yeah.
But I was...
Well, when I was a gymnast, I was barefoot. But I know why. That's why.
Yeah, that's why.
They always hurt.
Was one of the girls I was talking with said, like, her first half marathon she did, I don't know if you remember in the 90s, but, like, she wore those rocker shoes.
Oh, like yeah.
Because they were trendy, and she didn't know.
Did her feet
hurt?
She
wore those for a half marathon. Oh, yeah. She was, I mean, she's like, I finished, but I didn't feel good. You know, could you imagine?
I mean.
I'd rather run barefoot.
There were, now that we're talking about feet, in junior high, I used to get these New Balance. Because my gym teacher had them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'll
sure. They probably had no support in
them.
They
had none. My feet hurt. My mom took
They were street shoes, probably.
My mom took me to the podiatrist, and they gave me orthotics to put in my shoes.
Right.
I do have very high arches, which is very hard for me to find shoes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'll start in a pair of shoes, and then they, you know how they change every year, they try to make them better or lighter, or,
they change
and they take stuff away.
Yep.
Like I was in the Glycerins Brooks.
Yep.
And they changed, and then all of a sudden they didn't have an arch support anymore, and I had plantar fasciitis, so I had to totally switch my shoe. And
people really underestimate that importance of a good shoe.
Yeah.
Or the right, not even a good shoe, like just the right shoe for
them. Yeah.
Yep. You don't have to spend a lot of money. I mean, you don't have to drop $200 on a pair of running shoes.
Oh, no.
So but I think people equate price with quality and don't realize that their feet shouldn't be in those shoes.
It just has to be a good shoe for you.
Yeah.
What
shoe
works
fitting.
For you.
Shoe fitting is a real thing.
I'm in, right now I wear Nikes. Mm-hmm. And Nikes has always had a nice arch support. And I hated Nikes after high school because I tried wearing them, but the toe box was so narrow that my toes... Of course, I was probably wearing the wrong size. Mm-hmm. But after high school, I was like, I'm never wearing Nikes again. You know, they made my feet hurt.
Never say never.
Yeah. Well, when I lived in D.C., I went into one of the shoe stores, and they're like, here, we're going to... brought out a pair of Nikes. I'm like, oh, no, I don't wear Nikes.
Put those back.
And he's like, no. Nike totally revamped their whole running shoe, all their running shoes. Give them a chance. I was like, okay. I put them on. I was like, oh, wow, these really hugged my feet.
Yeah.
So
now after high school, where did your running go?
Out the door.
Uh-huh. Did you take a rest day for a while?
Well, for, I had... sports for me was like, now that I look back, was more of an escape. I had a very rough childhood, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. My father left when I was very young and we lived with my grandparents. And then my mom remarried, so I had a stepfather. And he was not mentally... he was just a tortured soul, let's just say that. Yeah. He was an alcoholic. And I never realized that until I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. But now that I look back, everything makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
So from there, when I went away to school, I went to Michigan State University, and I was very, very, very excited to get out of the house.
Be away,
to leave. I was like, peace out, sayonara, I never want to see you again. Mm-hmm.
So you start like this new life when you went to college?
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I mean, and that went for my stepdad and for my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom was trying to help him.
Yeah.
But I think she knew in the long run that it was better for me to leave.
Right.
Obviously, she probably didn't want me to leave.
Sure.
But it was a big mess. So on that, when I went away to college, it was like... free for all.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. And running wasn't in that equation.
Nope, was not.
Yeah.
There was a lot of drinking,
mm-hmm.
a lot of drugs.
Yep.
No classes, bad grades, trying to crawl myself out of that hole that I dug with all of that. The first two years of college were just
a blur?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
After my freshman year, I mean, I had a blast. I did manage to be able to stay in school.
Okay. Well, then you did maintain some sort of GPA.
I went home, but I didn't go to my mom's and my stepdad's. I went back to my grandparents' house. I stayed there for the summer, which was nice. I worked, and then I went back to school. And it was just such a hard... I mean, now that I look back, I was just really... I was not in any shape to even... I shouldn't have gone away to school.
Right.
You know?
You're not alone in that, though. I think other people, after the fact, realized that was probably not a good idea.
No,
you don't know when you're that age.
No,
I mean,
you really don't. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have such a hard... emotionally, I guess you could say. And like, my stepfather was very verbally abusive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just in that age, with all those hormones, being a teenager, being on your own, I just...
Right. Were you the first one to go to college in your family?
No, my sister went
too. But you all were like first generation college, so nobody at home could tell you what college was going to be like or...
No, my mother...
Okay.
My mother actually graduated from high school when she was 16. She's super smart. And she actually went to McGill University, which is in Montreal, Quebec.
Uh-huh.
She went there for a few years. And then she met my dad on the reservation.
Was she like a nerd and like went to class and... Yeah. Actually did her schoolwork and everything.
Yeah. But then
good for your mom.
And then she met my dad. Mm-hmm. They got married. They had my sister when my mom was 19. And my mom had me when she was 22. So She went away to school, and then...
So she probably had a great experience and was like, you guys will too. Like, she probably was happy you were going to college, and...
Oh, yeah. She was very proud of us for going. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't any inclination in my head that I wasn't supposed to go to college.
Right.
Or that's not, you know, there was no other option. That was never pushed on me. It was just, you go to high school.
Then you go to college. Yeah. And you go away. You're not going to stay here and commute or...
No. Yeah. No. Well, I wanted to go away.
Yeah.
I mean, when you grow up and you have such a...
Oh, I did too, yeah.
...horrid life.
Yeah.
You just...
Yeah, I wanted to go away to college. That was part of the... You know, I lived in a small town and it was going to be an adventure.
Yeah. I know. I do, like... My husband's nephews, they grew up here.
Yeah.
They lived with their mom and dad, and one tried to go away first semester and came back.
It's not for everybody.
And then they commuted.
Yeah.
And I just, in my head, I'm like, why would you want to stay home?
Yeah.
But, I
think my youngest will do that. He's actually said he's going to live in the basement and just go to college online.
Oh.
So he doesn't have to leave.
Well.
He has it all planned out.
Lucky you.
Lucky me.
Well, I in my head, I'm just like, why wouldn't you want to go and live on your own?
Right.
But then again, if you have such a nice,
comfortable life, emotionally safe place to live, why would you
want to move? Why would you want to leave?
Right.
So it took me a while to get that.
Because you were coming from your perspective. And
I got to get out of here.
So what happened with college?
Well, I went for 2 years, and then I took a year off.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point I was starting to realize I was partying too much. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I
gotta figure some things out.
Yeah, I'm like wasting a ton of money, and I'm not. So I took a year off.
Yeah,
I took a year off. I moved back home. I got myself an apartment, and I started coaching gymnastics. And I did that for a year. Really thought about things and was like, that's when I really started working out again.
Yeah, some time. So,
yeah, I was in the gym, you know, coaching the girls. And so I would go in the gym and I would do gymnastics and, you know, just start working out again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just decided, okay, I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to go back to Michigan State. I'm going to finish my degree. And that's what I did. I took a year off school. Re-enrolled, went up there and stayed in the dorms again. So I'm this 20, how old was I when I was back? 21.
That's awesome.
21, 22 year old in the dorms. You don't see the older kids in the dorms
right.
very often. But
right.
I went in, got a little single, and I still had a lot of fun. And I
sure.
think those last 3 years I was at school were a lot of fun. And I had I was going into kinesiology, which is physical education and
mm-hmm.
exercise science. So a lot of my classes, I had a lot of other athletes in my classes. So
right.
I met a lot of baseball players and hockey players, volleyball players, crew people, and they're always working out.
They're always working out, and they kind of have to be disciplined because they have to maintain a grade
right.
point average,
mm-hmm.
and so probably like a better crowd for you to be...
Yeah,
associated
yes, with exactly. I mean, it really was going back. All my other friends were gone.
Right.
So I had to make new friends, and it was almost like a breath of fresh air because it was like I didn't feel like I was stuck
mm-hmm.
there
mm-hmm.
anymore. I was.
You were around motivated people.
Yeah.
That are,
so we'd go to the hockey parties, and we'd go to the baseball parties, and eventually I got an internship in the weight room. At school and helped the crew team, the baseball team, the gymnastics team, the volleyball team go through their workouts and stuff. And I really learned a lot working
mm-hmm.
in the weight room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very cool to see and to learn all kinds of moves and how things need to be done and strength training and what they do on top of their practices and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And every so often you get the cross-country team come in there and they're like just sticks.
They look different than the other athletes.
And then you get the crew team come in here where one of their thighs was as big as me around.
Yeah.
And you would never think that these crew girls are huge.
Yeah.
It's the little, I forget forget what they call the girl in the front that yells out to them, coxswain or something like that. And she's the tiny one. But the others, they're huge. I was just extremely impressed at how big these girls were. And because I would help them try and pull down like their weights to them. I'm like, I'm hanging there. I'm like, I can't pull this down.
Someone else
needs to pull this down. I mean, they were so strong. So strong.
Well, that experience probably has really helped you with all of the training that you've done for your races.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I know you go and lift weights at CrossFit, and mm-hmm. that's probably been very helpful. Because there are a lot of women that are very intimidated to go into a weight room.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women. Well, it's probably different now. But when we were in college, girls did not go in and lift weights by themselves in the weight room. It was mainly men. And so I didn't go into a weight room until after college.
Oh, really?
For the first time. And I played sports.
Yeah.
And the girls just didn't. The football team went and lifted weights after school.
Uh-huh.
And the soccer team, but we didn't.
I think in high school, we never lifted weights. Mm-hmm. The football
players. But it's more of a norm now.
And the basketball players went in. But it wasn't until college where I started, and then you could go, every dorm. Now, Michigan State's a big
Ten
school, so, I mean, it's huge. And mm-hmm. there's weight rooms in
everywhere.
Dorm. You have all kinds of facilities there. I mean, you could work out really anywhere you wanted.
Yeah, that's nice.
As long as you were a student.
So when did you get back into running?
Okay, so... there was this cute boy.
Oh, my. Good stories always start that way. They don't always end great, but they start great.
So I was in, physiology. Yeah. Was it physiology? Yeah.
Did he play hockey?
No, he played baseball.
Okay.
Oh, he was so cute. Oh, my gosh. He had, his buns were so cute. Oh, he was just
you were crushing
very,
on him hard.
Very good looking.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you see this kid from across the room, you're like, he's so cute. Anyway, so I, looked at this kid all the time in one of my classes.
Uh-huh.
And then, lo and behold, me and I don't know who, what friend was with me. Might have been my cousin. Went to this party, and it was a baseball party, and there he is.
Conveniently,
There he is standing at the end of the stairs, and he notices me right away. He's like, hey, you're in my physiology class. And I'm like,
oh, he knows me.
I was so excited that this kid just knew who I was.
Uh-huh.
So we started chit-chatting. We studied together. We hung out a few times. And he was like, let's go for a run. I'm like, dude, I haven't ran in a long time. So we go and run. I think we get a mile in. And I'm like, I couldn't breathe. And he's just kind of looking at me. I'm like, give me a second.
Can we go lift weights or something?
We did end up finishing it. He wanted to run 3 miles.
Yeah.
I think I ran a mile and was like, peace out, dude. Mm-hmm. And I left.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what happened after that. But we continued to study together. And then it was more like a, if we saw each other in the bar, we'd hang out type of thing. We never really dated or anything like that. But he was so cute. And one of the last times I saw him, I was actually already had graduated. And he was still... he had one more semester, and we were tailgating, and I went and knocked on his door, and he opened the door, and there he was. So,
were you like, let's go run a mile?
Heck no, I was like, hey, you want a drink?
So when you ran that mile and you got finished, what did you, were you like, I'm never doing that again, or that was horrible?
I'm never running again. That's way too hard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, dude, I need to be able to do this if I want to run with some cute guys.
Right. That's good motivation. So when did you... were you ever... did you race before that?
No, I have never ran
a
race.
When was your first race?
My first race was 2008.
What?
It was a 5K.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you do?
I ran it in 35 minutes.
No,
it was a road race? It was a path... sand trail type race.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what it was. One of my bartender buddies was like, I'm going to run this race. He's like, you want to run? I'm like, sure. How many miles? 3. Okay.
So did you train for it?
Sort of.
That'd be no.
I had always, okay, so from the time I was went back to school, I was working out, and I always have worked out regularly.
Yeah.
But I had never run more than a mile or two. Mm-hmm. I always warmed up with a mile. And then after a while, I was like, I need to get this to 2 miles.
Yeah.
I need to get this, you know, get this up. And I don't think I'd ever run 3 miles until I ran that race. But I always ran a mile, so I knew I could run a mile, and that was hard. Mm-hmm. And it was even hard to get to 2 miles. And I really started running because I was supposed to be, I got picked to be in a bikini competitor. That's why I started running.
Uh-huh.
Because in one of my kinesiology classes, they told me that running is the slimmest form of exercise.
Oh.
It elongates your muscles.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want to slim down, you need to start running.
Do some cardio. Yeah.
So that's where I started running. I'm like, okay, I always worked out.
Yep. Did you feel like that gave you an extra... Did it help you slim down? I have to imagine that you were probably pretty slim already.
Yeah, I kind of was. Now that I look back, dang. I look good.
Yeah. In your 20-some-year-old
right,
body.
Right, in my 22-year-old body, yeah. 23.
Well, so you did this race and you crossed the finish line. Were you like, I want to do that again? Or did you, like, hold off? You didn't run
again?
I was
like, done. Uh-huh. My calves are going to fall off. They hurt so bad. And I just didn't even think about it.
That was 2008?
Yeah.
And now it's 2019. How many races have you run?
Oh, my gosh. Really? I have no idea.
I don't count, really.
I stopped. I would seriously have to sit down and...
Count them up.
I mean, I can show you a picture of all my medals.
Right. Well, they can't see that. People listening can't see that.
I can show you a picture of all my medals. But a lot of... my races didn't give medals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got like mugs and more recent cups.
So for those listening that don't know Amber, she's minimizing what even by saying I can show you a picture of how many medals I have. She runs lots of races and she does a mix of. So when I first met you, I knew that you ran road races.
Yes.
But since I've met you, you've done a lot of trail running.
Yes.
Well, do you have a favorite, road or trail?
It depends.
Yeah.
It really does depend. I did run trails in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
But they're not technical or hilly like they are around here.
Is there probably access to more trails there than there are here?
There is, but they're not, like the terrain here is different.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
it's more mountainous,
mm-hmm.
like Jefferson
Memorial.
The trails in Michigan are more or less like running on a road.
Just dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Or pine cone.
Yeah.
Or,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just
mm-hmm.
not as, it's a lot hillier down here.
Right.
I mean, nowhere near as other places, but it's definitely, Michigan's a little more flat. But the further north you go, you can get some hills and stuff like that. But obviously I was in the Metro Detroit area, so it's not very hilly.
So you had run a lot of marathons before you moved here. Would you say that?
Yeah.
And now, but have you run an ultra race before you moved here?
No.
So then you started dabbling in ultra distance.
Yes.
So a long time ago, you were like, a 5K, this is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm leading to here. And now it's like, to go out and train for a 50K is kind of normal.
Yeah.
So where did you fall in love with long distance running? Do you remember? Or was there a time?
I remember where I hated it.
Yeah.
And 3 days later, I signed up for something more.
Is that the one you're training for? Tell everybody what you're training for now. Let's just jump to that.
Yes. I am training for Rough Trail, mm-hmm. which is in the Red River Gorge in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I ran this race last year, and there's a cutoff time of 10 hours, and I did it in 9 hours and 20 minutes. And I think I can run that faster.
Mm-hmm.
I ran enough for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try and train a little harder for it and try and get a little faster time out of it. But that is one of the hardest races I have ever ran.
Everybody says that about that
to
race.
To date. It's tough, but it's beautiful.
Well, it must be if you're going back a second time, because personally, I don't want to run it the first time. So for you to go...
Well, let's just say this. The year before that, I did the 25K.
Mm-hmm.
So the 25K there's this one last big hill climb, and this 50K-er ran by us, and she just ran up this hill.
Straight up.
And I just watched her as I'm like trudging along, thinking, I am never going to do that 50K, mm-hmm. and I am never going to do this again.
Mm-hmm. Never say never.
Yeah, so I signed up for the 50K, and I did that, and at the exact same spot, I was telling myself, I am never going to do this again. This is so hard.
Do we never learn? Do we never learn?
And then I signed up for it again.
Yeah.
Because it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I run marathons and I run these ultra races, not because they're easy, but because they're a challenge.
Right.
And they challenge my body, and I do them because they're hard.
Is it a fair assumption to say that you got to that distance because you were running consistently? Because I remember there was a time where I was running like a 10K and thinking, I will never run a marathon. Mm-hmm. And then I ran marathons, but I was training consistently for those. So running, it didn't get easy, but it got easier because
yeah.
your body was conditioned.
Right.
So I remember running a marathon and ending it, and like I could have kept running. Like I had more, obviously I didn't run hard enough because I had more gas in the tank.
Right.
Or maybe I'm just good at running further.
Maybe.
That's kind of, you know, like... But for people who are on the fence and are thinking, I want to get to that marathon distance or ultra marathon distance, you know, what is the key, for, in your opinion, for them to get to that place if they haven't run their first marathon yet? What advice would you give them? Or
just don't stop.
Yeah. Consistency and running. And
just don't stop.
How often do you run? How many days a week do you run?
It depends. If I'm training, I try to get 5 or 6 days a week of running. 2 to 3 days of strength training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there shorter runs on the day that you strength train, or will you do like a
yes.
hard workout and
yes.
then go run?
5, 6, 8 miles on a strength training day. And it all, you know, I'm to the point now where I should follow a strict plan, but mm-hmm. I don't. Obviously, life gets in the way, and mm-hmm. sometimes I just am so tired.
Yeah.
And it all depends on your nutrition. Like, I know I ate horrible yesterday. That's probably why our run today wasn't all that great.
I think our run was great.
But then again, it is kind of hot out.
It's very hot.
But nutrition is such a big part of it. And when I don't eat correctly the day before, the next day, I can completely tell.
Do you think some of your nutritional needs are based on your heritage and that you're Native American and that your body
that's a good question.
Processes things differently? For example, mm-hmm. some dairy products,
mm-hmm.
maybe your body just historically
yes.
is not used to ingesting
yes.
or is any of that?
Oh, yeah. That has a, big issue with that. Like if I eat too much, like I don't even like milk. I don't eat yogurt anymore
mm-hmm.
because it messes with my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next day, who knows, I would probably have to keep pit stop,
yeah.
you know? Definitely.
Like, I would say there are probably some meat products too that you would not be good for your system versus others.
I'm not.
Have you noticed that?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Just the dairy.
Dairy.
Gluten.
Gluten.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two main ones. Otherwise, I'm a lot of plant meat.
Yep.
It's basically what I try to stick to. I try to stick to lots of fruits and vegetables and a protein. If it grows and I can pick it,
yep.
I can
and that
eat
probably
it.
Goes along well with just your origin, you know, and mm-hmm. your family and generations before you, and that was their sustenance.
Yeah, unfortunately, I look at like my reservation now, and you know, people on it. Unfortunately, the way Americans
mm-hmm.
or you know, white man,
mm-hmm.
non-native,
right.
I guess you could say, the
right.
way they eat is you know, a lot of processed stuff, a lot of breads. And
not the healthy for their body.
Yeah, not healthy for you. So when you look on the reservations now, you see a lot of overweight, bloated.
Obesity and
yes.
diabetes.
Yeah, a lot of them have. I mean, my grandfather passed away from diabetes.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be probably pretty, I mean, if you're thinking about longevity and running or just being healthy for your kids and your, I mean, because obviously
heart disease, Mohawk, and
you know, so they'll have those same.
Heart disease and diabetes runs in my family.
Yeah.
So I am constantly, every year I go in and get checked. I mean, like last year I was pre-diabetic. This year I'm good. So, I mean, I really have to, really watch what I eat. And I mean, I gain 5 pounds and then I'm pre-diabetic. I lose 5 pounds and I'm okay. So if I can,
there's a fine line there.
Yes. And if I can maintain this, then yay. it's tough.
So let's shift gears. I want to talk a little bit about Moms Run This Town because that's how I met you. Mm-hmm. And you had lived in D.C., the D.C. area, and found a running group there. Mm-hmm. And then you came here.
Yep. So we had moved to D.C. for a temporary assignment for my husband. So we lived there, and we were in Alexandria. So I found that before we moved there. So when I got there, lo and behold, the chapter leader of Alexandria's Mom Run This Town lived in my neighborhood.
And they have a big chapter there.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. It's because it's Arlington and Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were like 6 or 7 other moms, maybe even more, 8, 9. There was a good group of women that lived in that neighborhood.
Oh, man, how convenient.
Yes, it was awesome. So you could literally, we could literally run out our door. We had an elementary school in the neighborhood. We would meet at the front, and then there was a path, and you could just, you could take it into downtown Alexandria, I mean, and hit another path, and I mean, you could go.
I ran down there the last time I was there. It was beautiful. And that, just in the little old town area and all that. I don't know if that's where you were ever
We were just outside of the old town area. But, I mean, you could run from our neighborhood and get down there.
New development concept. We should just build Moms Run This Town neighborhoods.
There we go.
With built-in trails, built-in running paths.
See?
A pool, a lap pool.
Yeah.
Ooh. And an elementary school.
Done.
Do we know any developers we can get on that? Because they would sell all those lots in like no time.
Exactly. No, yeah. So I lived there, did that. When I first joined there, and we were only there for 2 years. No, 3 years. No, 3 years. Mm-hmm. We were there for 3 years. So when I joined there, there were only 300 people in the group. By the time I left, there was over 3,000 women in that group.
That's awesome.
And that's just that little area. Now,
right.
Moms Run This Town has all kinds of little in the D.C. area because it's there's so many people.
Yeah, and there's so many neighborhoods.
You stay in your neighborhood because it would take you 20 minutes to get to the next. So when I moved back home to Michigan, and there are Moms Run This Towns around there. And, you know, I met some women and ran there, but then my husband got the job down here in Louisville, and so I looked for Louisville Moms Run This Town, and I had met Marion, or not met Marion, but I had talked to Marion, and one of my friends in D.C. was friends with Marion, so we talked, and at the time, we were thinking about moving on the Louisville side.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Marion, she was telling me about the schools and things like that, and then at the last second, my husband wanted to live on the Indiana side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's from New Albany.
Oh, okay.
So,
that makes sense.
He's from New Albany, so we started looking on this side, and the Floyd's Knobs area, Floyd County has good schools, so we were looking at a certain high school we wanted the kids to be able to go to and stuff. So we looked in the Floyd's Knobs
area. Does that mean your guys are thinking about staying here for a long time?
I don't know. We have...
I don't want to talk about it. You were supposed to say yes, and you're just going to be here for a long time.
We have many options.
Yes.
Yeah. Many, many options.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as of right now, we're not going anywhere.
Because you guys moved here, and then you started a chapter here.
Yes, I did, and it's
taken, growing.
It's taken a while. It's like a little...
Have to think about it. It's even though this is a nice little town here and everything, it's pretty rural. I mean, things are spread out.
Yes.
So it's hard for people to probably get together to run.
Yes. And I did this on this side because I can't always get to the rural side. And
we can come here sometimes, so.
Yeah. I mean, and I, you know, I keep going back and forth. I'm like, should I just dissipate this chapter because we can just go to the Louisville chapter? But at the same time, there I do know that there are women in this chapter that aren't on the Louisville
That's
side.
Right.
And there are women that I know of that don't run over there.
That's
they
right.
stay over here.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wish it would grow, and I wish it would, you know, it would pick up a little more because I can't get over to Louisville
right.
all the time.
I think it will pick up. It's about word of mouth, and it just takes, like, it's not exponential at first. It seems like it takes forever because,
yeah.
I mean, when I entered Louisville Moms Run this town, there might have been 250 of us.
Yeah.
And maybe only 10 or 12 of us would post, like, regularly.
Yeah.
And now there's over 1,600
yeah.
of us. So it just takes a minute, I think, to
yeah.
get going.
Well, I hope it does. And I'm trying to reach out further into
yeah.
southern Indiana.
Yeah.
So, like, I have some Corydon, Indiana runs.
Yeah.
And trying to get out there. Because that's only 20 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty
mm-hmm.
close. And you know, here, obviously, with the Greenway.
This is really nice.
Yeah.
It was the first time that I ran it. But
oh, really?
Yep.
You haven't ran it from the other side and come this way?
Nope.
No?
Huh. Might have to set up an event for that
yeah.
Moms from this town.
Well, there was one day I ran.
Because I would rather come over here and park than have to go over there and park.
Really?
Yeah, it just seems safer.
It might be. I mean, yeah.
And there's the YMCA right there, so you
yeah.
can go in and shower when you're done.
Yeah.
And see, I'm always thinking about these things, but now I know.
Yeah, it's nice. I've ran 15 miles, like, I ran all the way to the walking bridge and across and down and back around. I've run down to the walking bridge across, down River Road to Frankfort, all the way up to the reservoir, do the reservoir, come back and down. I mean, you can get some miles.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
I
and then there's little trails off this path, too.
I have to think about that if I ever train for another long race again.
You will.
These days.
My first half marathon, I think at mile 10, my hips were screaming at me, and I, in my head, I'm going, who in the does this?
Uh-huh.
Who does this?
Mm-hmm.
This is stupid. I'm running them. This is so dumb. I hate this. I am never doing this again.
Yep.
And then, you know, you get to turning point, and then there's the finish line, and I was so happy to be done. And 3 days later, I signed up for my first marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I absolutely hated it. I was never going to do anything like this again.
See, that's the never, never say never. And now you're training for 50K.
And I might start, and I did that triathlon.
Yep.
Just on a whim.
That was the Cardinal Sprint try?
Yeah.
Yeah, that it looks fun. I mean, I personally would train the swimming portion. I would do that because I'm not a strong swimmer, but I would get where somebody would be like, what is that, 400 meters?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it's 400 meters.
Yeah.
I'm a swimmer. I can get in there
yeah.
and do that.
I hadn't been in a pool or in a lake swimming in probably 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even have a bike, so I borrowed Allison's and picked it up the day before.
It's a nice bike.
I bought it.
I know. I mean, it did a great job.
It's hanging up.
Well,
right now.
Instead of running, we'll bike. We can bike over here and pick you up and then go bike around.
Go for a bike ride. Yeah, I want to start dabbling in some tries now. I think I'll hop off the 50K.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, what's kind of, do you, after you get this 50K over with, is there like a bucket race or is there something you've never done in terms of racing that you want to try? So you're thinking a longer triathlon distance might be in
yeah,
the future?
I feel like I want to try to do an Ironman, a
mm-hmm.
full.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's crazy.
I'm sure people thought you were crazy when you said you were going to run a half marathon too.
Yeah, I think a full Ironman is just, you've got to be out of your mind to do that. But people do it.
I agree.
And I know people, I know women. Some
mm-hmm.
the women do it.
Yep.
And I think one day I would like to do that.
Where do you get your motivation from? Or is there anybody that, like, you draw inspiration from? Or what keeps you motivated to run and to race? Is it something internal? Or do you look at other people and that gets you excited about racing? Or
yeah, I never thought about it. I just...
Like, so I just do.
Do it. Well, for one, I mean...
You have to have points, though, where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of this.
Well,
or,
all of May, I didn't run.
Yeah.
I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So I didn't. But In the beginning, it was more or less trying to stay in shape and look good in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
But
I still think you look great in a bikini, by the way.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing a great job.
And then after my kids, it was more or less getting that baby weight off.
Right.
And maybe getting back into a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point after I had both my kids where I was in a certain size, and I was like, well, I guess this is just, I mean, I couldn't get
hope
it
off. Hope you guys
off.
Are good with this. Cause
I was like, this is just what's going to have to be.
Yeah.
And then slowly it started to,
yeah.
to come off. Nice. And now it's mainly to keep my sanity.
Yep.
Because I am a stay-at-home mom.
Yep.
And it is...
running is a mental health... There's so much mental health benefit to it.
I can completely see if I have not run 2, 3, 4, 5 days.
Yeah.
It comes out at my kids, and
That's
I
right.
start yelling at them, and I just, everything just gets
can
on
your
my
husband
nerves.
Tell a difference if you're not running? Because I know mine can. He'll say, you need to go, like, you need to run.
My husband works a lot.
Yeah.
So...
He's protected. He's sheltered from the non-running inside
is.
Of you.
He pretty much. I mean, I come home and I tell him, like, listen, I had to yell at those kids today, but I haven't ran in a few days.
Yeah.
And I know when the weekend comes, he gives me the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I have full
That's
range
awesome.
Of mornings. I can do whatever I want.
Right.
Saturday and Sunday mornings. It's me.
That's nice. And then he gets to hang out with the kids, too.
Yes.
Since he's working, that's time he gets
to
spend.
Yeah, because he gets home pretty late.
Mm-hmm.
He gets home just in time to put them to bed.
Yeah.
I really need to get runs in. And I think that now is more of a motivator for me.
Yeah.
Is I can get out, I can talk. I mean, because I do get depressed
mm-hmm.
because I'm not... excited to live here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love my house.
It wasn't your first choice.
No.
The city
I love my house. I love the neighborhood we're in.
Yeah.
You know, we're far enough out where we get to have a nice big house.
Right.
And we've got a pool in the neighborhood, and the kids go to really good schools.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I just haven't found... I don't know.
Your place.
Yeah.
I mean, you're busy worrying about it, making everything good for your family, and
yep.
so you sometimes you come last.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know. There's just something not clicking here
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping Moms Run This Town on this side would help me find more moms.
Right.
And maybe I would find my person or my tribe. I mean, because if I lived on that side, I would have already found it.
Right.
You know, because... there's a lot of women on that side that I run with already that I love hanging out with.
Right.
They live an hour away.
Right.
And which isn't too far.
But when you have kids and all the other things.
But, you know, if you're just going to be like, hey, come over for a glass of wine.
Right.
All right, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Right.
No, it's
That's
more,
probably it because you lived in areas before that were so populated.
Yeah, I could. My best running friend when I lived in Michigan lived mm-hmm. a mile away.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's go for a run, or let's meet it here.
Let's meet up.
Yeah.
Just bring
just
your
come
kids over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can play and we can sit and
yep.
have a beer. And she would be over in 5 minutes. Where here, I mean, if I really wanted to go hang out with the friends I've made in Louisville, it's like, all right, I can be there in probably an hour.
Will you still be there when I get there?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know, I hear what you're saying about feeling disconnected, but I know we appreciate having you here. I mean... even though we may not see you all the time, I know there are so many of us that are connected to you and just love being around you,
yeah.
and you're always so fun, and you motivate us. I mean, I think you motivate the women in the Southern Indiana group, too, because I see you posting and there people are responding. So I think
try.
Sometimes people, you do run that line of, like, not being too intimidating
mm-hmm.
because of a distance you're training for or a pace that you run. To invite other people to come with you. And sometimes women are scared of that. But, I mean, if you're going to have a chapter leader that's going to run with you and hang out with you, it's got to be Amber. Because she just likes to have fun. And, you know, I mean, you're not one of those people you're going to show up and be like, okay, I have to run 8-minute pace right now for 15 miles. And you're going to have to hang with me. Or I can't run with you. I'm just going to leave you here. I mean, you're not like that. So I hope more women, like, take you up on the coffee runs and things like that.
Yeah.
Because they're really missing out on...
No.
Just your personality. And
well,
everything.
Thank you. I mean, there are... I mean, we do have a few mamas that are they come to try to get to every coffee run.
Yeah.
So,
It'll work. It'll keep going.
I hope so.
So we only have a few minutes left. So I want to ask you one more question. Well, two more questions, but we have a few minutes left.
We can talk forever.
I know. We can do a 3-hour podcast. So number one, when this podcast is about BAMRs. When you hear the word BAMR, you know what it stands for. But what are the characteristics you would apply to someone to say that they're BAMR? How do you describe a BAMR?
You. Me.
That's yeah, you're right.
Our friends.
Yeah.
Our running
friends. And why? What is that?
I mean, just a mom in general.
Mm-hmm.
And just a mom in general that can,
I mean, moms are pretty awesome.
Yeah, that they have to take care of these little people and bring them up, and I mean, we have to grow them. We have to nurture them.
Keep them alive daily.
Exactly. And then on top of that, we have to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that. And on top of that, we bring our kids along to do that. I mean, there's moms who run while they're pregnant. There's moms who push their kids in the strollers. There's moms who run with their kids. There's moms who ride their bikes and run with their kids.
Yep.
I mean, I always felt like a badass running with both my kids in the double jogger and my dog Dakota at my side.
Hell yeah.
7, 8, 9 miles.
Yep.
Now that will make you feel like a badass.
Yep.
But anytime you can get out pushing a stroller, a single, a double, whatever, and run a mile.
Yep.
Garmin's got to fix that calorie count on there.
Can you add in stroller and dogs and everything else?
Give that the stroller.
Ooh, we should email them and ask them about stroller run function. There's not a stroller run function, but there should be.
There should be.
Ooh, you know, they don't have a hockey function on Garmin, and Chris was like, I am going to email them about that.
Oh, yeah.
It's only a step. It only does, like, a step count.
Yeah.
Well, but it won't calculate.
You're still.
Yeah, it's a different movement. It's like, but they have cross-country skiing.
Oh, do they?
Yep. They need a hockey and they need a stroller run function.
They need
work on that.
A stroller run function, because that, pushing those kids, it's not easy.
It's hard. I didn't run with strollers with my kids, but I pushed another mom and her group, her two kids the other day. Up a hill, I was like, I'm dying right now.
Wait, I mean, try it when it's windy out.
No, I don't want to.
Try it when it's windy out.
I don't want to.
You turn into that when it's like a sail.
That's horrible. All right, so people want to find you on social media. They want to follow your adventures. Where can they find you? And I'll put it in the show notes so people can. Are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram as Amber Running Deer.
Okay.
And I do have a Facebook, Amber Running Deer Bliss.
And you have your Southern Indiana Moms Run This Town page. If ladies want to join it.
We're in Southern Indiana.
Yep.
Just across the river from Louisville.
And then I'm going to be watching, of course, because I want to see how you're doing this 50K.
Yes, that is in November. That is Rough Trail. I have started ramping up my mileage. I think my actual training starts, I want to say July, end of maybe middle of July.
Are you coming to any women's half with us?
When is that?
September 28th.
I think I'm doing Rugged Red. Doing Rugged Red.
Can't tear you away from these trail races.
Well, Amy Gonchak, for 2 years has
you
been
all run
asked.
It.
I've never ran it.
She's run it.
Yes, she has been asking me to go for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'll do it this
fun.
Year. Yeah, so I think I'm going to take the family. We're going to camp
because
it's the end of September,
so
it should be cool enough at night to be able to camp out there and run that with her.
Awesome.
And her family, I think, is going to camp too, so it should
exciting.
Be fun.
Okay, well, I appreciate you coming on the show today, and I'm so glad I could have coffee with you and run with you. We should do this every Saturday.
We can.
You have all kinds of time in the morning on Saturdays.
Yeah, Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay, well, I'm going to remember that, especially when you start doing longer runs.
Yes.
So.
For sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
cool
Amber.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. If you like what you've heard, hit subscribe to the podcast so you can catch the next episode when it's live. Also, you can find me on my blog. That is bluegrassbammer.wordpress.com. Or you can follow me at bluegrassbammer on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. See you next time, and until then, happy running.